This is the Western Roundup, a spin-off show of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast. My name is Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. I'm here with two of my very good friends, Carson Binda.
Howdy, howdy.
He's the CTF director out in British Columbia. And of course, Gage Hobrick. He is holding down the fort in Saskatchewan. He also represents Manitoba. So I will apologize in advance. I need to get a Manitoba flag. So I do hear you folks. Okay, don't come at me in the comments. I will find a Manitoba flag for the special Western Roundup show. Now, this feels special, guys. It's before you were born, but there was a moment when The Simpsons spun off into Futurama. It was really cool. So it feels like that right now. So for this show, series, etc., we wanted to focus on stuff that's happening out west, here in the heartland of Canada, Western Canada. And I wanted to start on the westest coast, the leftest coast, Carson.
West You've coast, been doing... best coast, Chris. Yeah. West coast, best coast.
I'm going to start with you in a second. And Gage, I wanted you to jump in on this too, because very selfishly, I want to talk about myself. I just got back from a road trip to a couple of my hometowns where we packed up the kids and the dog and the pickup truck. And we took them out to Hope in British Columbia, took them all the way across the ferry, went to Courtney, British Columbia. It was wonderful. We actually saw a whale off the ferry. It was super cool. Whole fluke was up in the air. It was really cool. But the neatest thing from a Taxpayers Federation perspective, guys, is I saw gasoline for about $1.50 on Vancouver Island. Now, you know, 10 years ago, me would be freaking out at how expensive that was. But now that is the cheapest price I've seen for gasoline in like a decade there, Carson.
Oh, Chris, every time I go past a gas station, I am blown away. And that's because of our tax fighter army here. We put so much pressure on the BC government that they had to eliminate the provincial carbon tax. Just like we've been saying for years, folks, you cut the tax, life gets more affordable for normal families. And that's exactly what you were seeing on the island this weekend. Those lower gas prices, it's because tax fighters stood up, had their voices heard, and forced David Eby and the BCNDP to cancel the provincial carbon tax, which was the thing making gasoline so expensive to begin with.
Yeah, big time. And like filling up a pickup truck, you're saving like about $20. It was great. Gage, what's the price there in your neck of the woods there in Saskatchewan right now?
So about in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, we kind of hover around $1.30. So we're still even cheaper than it is out in BC. And I know that's because of some other taxes that the BC government charges a lot of drivers, but it's the same thing, right? The federal government came in years ago and said, you're going to pay our carbon tax. Saskatchewan taxpayers, Manitoba taxpayers, and Alberta taxpayers said no. And they took to the fight and we won it. And now gas is cheaper, right? And I even notice it in my own day to day, right? I used to have to fill up. So like I'm budgeting, you know, couple hundred bucks a month to spend on gas. Now it's just less. You get $40 more a month in your pocket from filling up even a small car like mine. It helps people. And it's crazy that it took the federal government that long to realize it, but it was good that taxpayers were fighting the whole time.
Yeah, it was nice to see that win in real time. Here in Lethbridge, it's about same amount as you, Gage. It's around $1.32, $1.33 around there. And it's just really nice to see that real savings happen. And it's proof that if we all gang up on the government for long enough and hard enough, they will have to actually move. Now, I wanted to zero in on some work that you guys have been doing here, both in your respective regions here of beautiful Western Canada with a capital W. Carson, you dug into mayor's salaries. Like, how many regions did you look at? Were you looking at just major cities? What kind of money are we talking about here? What'd you find?
Well, Chris, this has been a months-long project, spearheaded by some great journalists at Global News BC. We've had whistleblowers involved, city councillors jumping in on this fight to show just outrageous expenditure going on at Metro Vancouver. Now, for folks outside of BC, we've got municipalities, we've got the province, but we've also got this weird in-between level of government, regional districts. Metro Vancouver is the regional district that has Vancouver, Burnaby, New Westminster, all those cities kind of centered around the lower mainland until you get to Langley, and then it's a different regional district. But the mayors in Metro Vancouver regional district, Chris, they are making out like bandits. And it's not just their base salary that's out of control, which it is, but they're double billing taxpayers just for showing up to meetings. Can you imagine that? I mean, we have staff meetings all the time, 2 a week. Can you imagine going up to our boss, Todd, and saying, "Hey, sir, that Monday staff meeting, I'm going to need some extra cashola on my paycheck just for showing up to my meeting and doing my job." That's
Yeah,
exactly the, yeah. What would Todd say? He'd
he'd
laugh.
tell you to lay off the West Coast product there a little bit there, Carson.
That's exactly what he'd say.
Yeah.
But that's what's going on with our Metro Vancouver mayors. So let's break this down for the highest paid mayor in Metro Vancouver, Richmond's own Malcolm Brody. So his base salary, what he gets from Richmond taxpayers for the job of being mayor, is $244,000 a year.
That's more than the Premier of Alberta.
And
That's more than the
Saskatchewan.
Premier of British Columbia. For comparison here, folks, David Eby makes about $227,000 a year. So right off the bat, what is that? $20,000 more than the Premier? Just in base salary? But it gets worse. To show up to Metro Vancouver meetings, he took home another $64,000 last year. You heard that right. 64 grand just for showing up to Metro Vancouver meetings. But it doesn't end there. He also showed up to a few TransLink meetings. Going to TransLink meetings got him another 40 grand last year.
Okay, I'm so glad we didn't talk about this before the show because this is disgusting.
Oh,
Okay.
it's gross, Chris. But it gets even worse. So
Okay.
there's TransLink. And then there's a board that oversees the TransLink board. It's called the South Coast Transportation Authority. So for going to those meetings, another 24,000 smackaroos right from your pocket into Mr. Brody's. Doesn't end there. Showing up to Municipal Finance Authority meetings got Mr. Brody another $28,000. So that brings us to $397,000 total. The President of the United States makes about 400,000 just to compare. So, Mayor of Richmond, President of the United States, those are comparable jobs. Above his base salary, 153 grand just for showing up to meetings.
What's a little meeting bonus between friends? That's double the average amount that a worker makes in Canada. Wow.
That's just his meeting bonus, just
That's
for doing
disgusting.
his job and showing up to meetings. And look, this would be unacceptable if everything was hunky-dory in Richmond, right? If everything was going perfectly in the region. But it's not. Richmond taxpayers are getting hit with a 6% property tax hike this year just from the municipality to pay for these sky-high salaries. There is currently an RCMP investigation in Richmond City Hall because $300,000 worth of gift cards to luxury restaurants like The Keg and Cactus Club went missing.
Oh my gosh.
$300,000
Oh my
of
gosh.
Malcolm Brody's staff missing. His staff just spent $78,000 from taxpayers to go on a junket to Spain and Switzerland, right? Like, there is just outrageous expenditure going on in the city of Richmond that normal taxpayers are expected to pick up while the mayor makes as much as the president of the United States and tax bills are going up and up and up and up. It's
Okay,
obscene.
that
Metro Vancouver, no better. They spent $64,000 on a wine and cheese party last year, which, and let me check my notes here, was in Toronto. Last time I checked, Toronto's not in Metro Vancouver. So these politicians are just taking taxpayers for a ride, Chris. They are making out like bandits, getting these outrageous meeting bonuses. Who's heard of such a thing? Seriously, meeting bonuses? While normal taxpayers are struggling, while Metro Vancouver is the center of the affordability crisis nationally, across North America even, and the politicians are shamelessly dipping into your pockets to line their
Yeah,
own.
that's just disgusting. And like your outrage is real. Gage, I'll let you jump in here in a second, but just quickly, it's upsetting. Like I grew up in Hope, which is about an hour and a half outside of Vancouver. I remember when Vancouver was a bustling, teeming, busy, mostly clean, normal, working class place to live. It was a port city. It was full of little bakeries and libraries. And I mean on East Hastings. Like I used to walk around down there as a child. And it was normal. I'm sure corruption existed, but now it just takes it to a whole nother level. Even years ago, guys, I remember distinctly I got a whistleblower call. It was late on a Friday afternoon before a 2 week long spring break for kids in school. And it was a whistleblower from Metro Vancouver, who was a staff member, obviously, didn't say who he was, who said these people just voted themselves a leaving bonus. Meaning, a mayor who is already a mayor getting paid mayor stuff, like you just said, like from Richmond or wherever they're from, was leaving and not being reelected. They decided to vote themselves. It was something gross. It was like, thousands of dollars, a leaving bonus for not no longer going to the meetings because they're not elected anymore. They voted for this themselves again on a Friday afternoon before a 2 week long spring break, trying to bury the story. I contacted Metro Vancouver to get the vote record. They didn't keep any. They had no minutes of the votes. And I said, "Excuse me, what?" They're like, "Oh, well, this is standard parliamentary procedure." I said, "Excuse me, no, it's not." I had to go back and find videotape of the little hand motion that they made. These thieves around this table and freeze frame it and count who had their hands up in the air. It's probably still the same case. So good on you guys and good on Global for blowing that up and pointing out that those snouts are buried deep in that trough. Gage, I'm going to jump over to you here because here in the Prairie Provinces, I think that that might trigger recall legislation if something like that went down at the municipal level. Super gross. You wanted to touch on a provincial element, though, and that is, again, love Alberta. I'm sure you love Saskatchewan. I know everybody likes that, but we needed to point out that the budgets are going in the wrong direction. The debt is actually going up, as opposed to the rep that we often have of being really good fiscal managers in Alberta, Saskatchewan. It's just not the case. What's going on?
Yeah, Chris, the problem is that the Saskatchewan government is basically spending money as fast as it comes in. So everybody knows that in March, April of every year, the government stands up and says, "This is our budget. This is what we're going to spend every year." Right? And then the year later, they release something called the public accounts, which shows what the government actually spent that year. And it's important to look at both because in the Saskatchewan government's case, and for a long time, as I'll get to, they've been blowing their budget on spending every single year. So the 2024 public accounts just came out, and the government spent $1 billion more than what they said they were going to.
That's like
Keep in
not.
mind, just a sec, just keep in mind the population of Saskatchewan. Like, Saskatchewan's a relatively small province. So, if it's blowing its budget by $1 billion, that's a lot of overspending.
Well, and that's not money you just like find under the couch cushions. Like, that is a whole heap of cash to blow your budget by. What?
Yeah, but it gets worse.
Okay.
Saskatchewan, despite being a small population, rectangle is nature's most perfect shape. So I would keep that out for Saskatchewan taxpayers, as Lorne Calvert said on Corner Gas back in the day, if anyone gets that one.
I do,
But
and I've Carson, aren't you from Saskatchewan?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so we've been infiltrated here, people. Sorry, go ahead.
an
Go ahead.
exile from the prairies.
We go back to 2023. The government also blew its budget in the public accounts by $2.2 billion. Okay, we go back to 2022, $1.4 billion, and we pop back another year to 2021, $2.5 billion. And that's the problem, right? The Saskatchewan government has this habit. So they stand up on budget day, the deficit, the debt doesn't look as bad as it seems to be, and we get to public accounts, and they've decided to spend all of the money and more. And that drives up the debt, it drives up the interest payments, and it costs taxpayers. Because here's the important fact that all those budget overruns are doing to taxpayers. So Premier Scott Moe became premier in 2018. The debt was about $11 billion in Saskatchewan. By the end of this year, it'll be $23.5 billion. So that means that Scott Moe has more than doubled Saskatchewan's debt in about 7 years. And the important fact on that one is that it took former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau 9 years to double the federal debt.
Gage, are you pointing out that Premier Scott Moe doubled his debt faster than Trudeau did his?
I'm just letting Saskatchewan taxpayers know that the facts don't lie, and Saskatchewan has a spending problem.
Yes, and you're among friends here, so you can share that. But I don't know how happy our listeners in Saskatchewan are going to be hearing that. But folks, don't shoot the messenger, guys. Like, those are the numbers, and that's the truth. There's a difference between, if I can speak personally, liking someone, okay? Like liking, for example, I really like Premier Danielle Smith. I've known her for years. I think she's great. However, when you look at the numbers and you look at the math, this is taxpayers' money, your neighbor's money, your kid's money being wasted. It doesn't matter if you like the person that's leading the government, they have to have truthful budgeting. So why I'm honestly kind of stumped here, Gage, because it doesn't seem to fit with the nature of Saskatchewan politics, if I can put it that way, to not have truthful budgeting. Like, what's going on here and how can they fix that?
Well, in typical government fashion, the government kind of always, there's a crisis of some sort in the middle of the year that supposedly justifies all this spending. For the last couple of years before this one, it was always droughts that made crop insurance amounts go up. But if anyone's ever been to a farm in Saskatchewan, especially where I'm from in southwest Saskatchewan, it's a very dry place. The government knows in March that it's likely going to be dry in June. But instead of looking at that reality and budgeting for it, they just kind of stick their head in the sand and use it as an excuse later on. So that's a big problem. But the important part for this year is that revenues from budget, from taxes and whatever, also went up about $1 billion. So if the government hadn't spent all that extra money, it would have $1 billion more to do tax relief, to pay back the debt, to reduce that interest bill. But instead, they just kept taking the money in and spending it as fast as it showed up.
So then, would you say that the guesstimating how dry the season is going to be is kind of their recurring reason or excuse, whatever term you want to use?
Yeah, so for that's what it's been for the past couple of years. This year
Okay.
was kind of up all over the place. Like for example, the government spent $8.5 million more in the category known as general government than they budgeted. So they obviously weren't looking very hard to keep spending in line because they decided Saskatchewan needed $8.5 million more of general government. I don't know what that means, but it sounds kind of evil.
It is because taxation is theft and that's all of our money. That's gross. In Alberta, it's kind of similar. In Alberta, the part that they're not doing it now, to give them credit, they're banking on a low cost barrel of oil. But in years past, they would often be too generous in their guesstimation as to how much money they're going to be taking in from oil per barrel of oil. And budget based on that lofty expectation, and then OMG, we're going over budget. But they're actually, to their credit, they're not doing that right now. I forget what they budgeted it for. I think it's like $66 or $65 per barrel of oil. And based on what's going on with tariffs right now, it is kind of making it wonky. But there's an update I wanted to give our listeners here in Alberta as well when it comes to the budget. And I'm going to try to not get into the weeds here, but Finance Minister Nate Horner released his fiscal year end. Okay, about 10 days ago, about 2 weeks ago or so. Some folks in the media, and I understand why they did this, it's an innocent mistake. Some folks in the media thought it was a budget update in the sense that, oh, they recorded a deficit of about $5 billion back during the budget in February. Now Horner's talking about a surplus. They thought it was a reversal, right? That wasn't the case. No. Horner was giving you the last chapter of the book, okay? That's already been written and done. It was for fiscal year 2024. Turns out, fiscal year 2024, they did wind up with more money in the bank than they thought. And then they did the right thing according to the Taxpayer Protection Act. They put a chunk down on the debt, put a chunk down on the heritage savings, and they saved the rest of the money, which is good. The problem is that the debt keeps on going up. So you can't say that you have a balanced budget and that everything is peachy if your debt keeps going up, and it is. It is now over $80 billion with a B going straight up, and they've got a spending problem they have to rein in here. Yes, we know that Trump is causing tariff problems, all that stuff. Fine. Just ice that, okay? They need to get their spending under control. They need to tell the union bosses within AHS, no, and we're going to be reducing your size and how much you guys cost. They must get that debt going in the opposite direction because, as much as we love beating up on Ottawa here in Alberta, I think it's the second official sport next to rodeo here in Alberta. We got to get our own fiscal house in order. And if we're not the ones going, putting money down on the debt and saving money, then we're not going to be able to manage ourselves no matter what we do here out west. So I wanted to flag that for people of no, we are not in a surplus situation. We are actually still in the red, okay? We're going deeper and deeper into debt, and it's Albertans who are paying it because of the interest charges. I know all of you guys are fighting this in British Columbia, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, the annual interest charges on the debt. Here in Alberta, the annual interest charges on the debt, we're spending more than twice the amount on that than we are on emergency services. To give you an idea quickly, the big news here this week was that fulfilling an election promise, Alberta Premier Danielle Smith wants Alberta police to have their own force here provincially, which is fine because that means it's more Western focused. We're not taking marching orders from Ottawa. But that stuff costs money, folks. That is not going to happen for free. So they got to find savings in the rest of their budget in order to make stuff like that go. Carson, I saw you waving your hand. If you want to jump in on this briefly, you guys are dealing with a massive debt there in British Columbia and huge interest payments on the debt, too.
We're being crushed by debt interest payments because the David Eby government has been recklessly adding on to our provincial debt. Just like with your family credit card, more debt today means more interest tomorrow. $5 billion, more than $5 billion this year alone,
Cool.
just on debt interest. If it was a ministry, it would have the fourth biggest budget in the entire province. Like, it is eye-watering amounts of money. But to build on what Gage was saying, who could forecast a drought in South Saskatchewan in July? Same exact thing in British Columbia. Every year, the government releases its fiscal update that shows the debt is, or the deficit is bigger than they were projected. They're borrowing more money than they said they would. And every year, like clockwork, they blame forest fires. We know that in British Columbia, we have forest fires in the summer. Government should be forecasting that in July and August, there will be communities that need support. There will be towns that need more firefighters brought in. But every year, hey, who could have seen this coming? We had no idea there were forest fires happening this year. Like clockwork, exactly like they do in Saskatchewan with the drought, or Alberta with the fluctuating price of oil. This is a tool government uses to mislead taxpayers and hide from their sky-high spending, because that's the issue.
And folks who are listening going saying, oh, well, of course you need to spend money on water bombers. Yes, we know. The point is, they need to be truthful in their budgeting upfront. Like, this should be a surprise to exactly no one. One of my earliest memories is of my parents getting us ready to evacuate in Hope. It was like in 1980, and there's smoke everywhere. Like, that's standard operating procedure, unfortunately, in BC with forest fires. Gage, I wanted to throw it back to you. You guys are also paying big money on your interest on your provincial debt.
No, definitely. In both provinces, especially, right? So the problem with Saskatchewan, as I mentioned, Premier Scott Moe has going to be by the end of the year more than double the debt since he's got in. That means taxpayers are on the hook for almost $1 billion in debt interest payments this year, right? And that's been steadily going up since Moe has become premier. And that's part of the problem, right? As the debt interest payments go up, the government still wants to spend on things, so they just have to spend more. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that means taking more from taxpayers. But in Manitoba, the situation is even worse, right? We're looking at $37 billion in debt, give or take, by the end of the year in Manitoba, about a $1 billion increase from last year. And taxpayers are going to be shouldering that amount as well. And we're seeing the consequences of it in Manitoba. Because for so long, Manitobans had to pay such high debt interest payments, the government wants to look for more money to spend. And this year, the Manitoba government was one of the only in its budget to actually hike taxes. And part of that is because the government's spending so much money on this debt interest. If it wants to spend more, it's got to take more from Manitobans. And that's what it did. And it should be the canary in the coal mine for all of the other provinces that are dealing with these kinds of issues.
Yeah, big time. Folks, gentlemen, anything else you wanted to make sure that our listeners knew, either from the prairies out there, Gage, or Carson, you're there in British Columbia. Anything else that our Western listeners need to know that's coming up on the agenda here?
Well, I think an important quick one is just kind of the statement that makes a lot of sense to everyone on this call, and I think everyone listening, is that taxpayers shouldn't be funding government spin campaigns. But in
Amen.
Manitoba, that's exactly what happened. So, for those who don't know, for the entirety of last year, Manitoba had the lowest fuel prices in the country because it cut its 14 cents per liter fuel tax. But then on January 1st of 2025, it hiked it back up by 12 and a half cents. That sounds like that's a tax hike. Everyone on the
It is a big
street
tax hike.
would say that's a tax hike. But government instead put up billboards that said permanent gas tax cut starting January 1st, referencing the 12 and a half cents increase. So that's obviously misleading. It's bad. But the worst part is that taxpayers paid $90,000 for that spin campaign to convince them that they're better off paying more gas taxes than they were before. So warning to governments all across the country, you shouldn't use taxpayer money to try and convince taxpayers about something that's just not true when you're paying more in taxes.
That is why I've got a book on propaganda on my shelf, because that is just disgusting. One, it's not true. Second, you're making taxpayers pay for that. Just sorry, indulge me. Indulge me. How did they try to spin this, saying that a tax hike was a tax cut and it was permanent?
Well, if you go back to 2023, taxpayers were paying 14 cents a liter for gas. Okay, for the gas tax. But for the entirety of 2024, it was 0 cents. So on December 31st, 2024 to January 1st, 2025, the gas tax increased by 12 and a half cents per liter.
But
You can
12 is
corral.
less than 14, was what they're saying.
That is basically what they're saying. But
Oh,
the
that's just
reality is
terrible.
Manitoba, they're paying more for gas taxes this year than they were last year. That's a hike. Ask anyone.
Yeah, literally anyone. No, that's really bad. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, Carson, anything from your neck of the woods that taxpayers need to keep their ear to the rail on? I'm still reeling over Mr. Moneybags there. I forget what his name is, the mayor of Richmond, who gets paid big cash to sit at meetings. He probably gets to zoom into them sometimes too. Anything coming up on the horizon we need to watch for there in Bring Cash, BC?
Yeah, absolutely. We will continue diving into these salaries and compensation for municipal politicians who think that they can bill you more money for zooming into meetings from the beach in some cases. You heard that right. We caught the mayor of West Vancouver collecting a stipend for zooming into one of these meetings from the beach. There were palm trees in the background. It looked beautiful. Taxpayers shouldn't be paying for it.
Excellent. Okay, guys. And just again, a programming note for folks who aren't used to our show, we laugh because otherwise you'd cry. And second, we must make fun of these people. Okay. If we're not poking fun at these fat cats who have their troughs, their noses shoved deep in the taxpayer trough and pointing out the fact that they're wasting your money and ripping you off and making fun of them, then they just take themselves too seriously. Mockery is a really good way to get under their skin, and it's a good way to affect change. So, folks, if you want lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government, darn it, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. Sign the petitions that speak to you, including things like getting rid of a provincial sales tax on used items. We'll talk about that in the next episode.